There's a story that many, many years ago, an old man by the name of Hébert passed away. At his funeral, the priest was saying how Monsieur Hébert was just a wonderful and loving husband, always dedicated to his wife. That he was such a wonderful example and provider for his children. He was a proud member of the community who served very well, and certainly he was going to be missed. Madame Hébert turned to her son and said, "Go check in that coffin, make sure it's your daddy that's inside there." That's a joke. This really happened to me after a funeral once. There was a man that I'd known from the nursing home, and I brought communion to him every week after the nursing home mass. I got to know him just like that. But when he passed away, I had his funeral, so he tried to accentuate the positive. And his wife, who came to mass every Saturday afternoon, after the funeral said, "I never thought you would lie from the pulpit." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "My husband wasn't that good," she said. I didn't know that, but okay. But it begs the question, what are people going to say about us whenever our time comes? As people file past our casket, what kind of sentiments are they going to have? And this is why on the feast day of all the saints, we have to consider the calling that all of us have to be faithful before God, to be saints ourselves. When a child is baptized, original sin is washed away and replaced by sanctifying grace, and that child becomes a saint at that point. So any child who dies, God forbid, that does happen, but if a child dies between baptism and the age of reason, about the age of 7 or 8, that child goes directly into eternal life and sees God face to face. But as we get older, as our capacity to reason begins to develop, when we actually have the freedom to choose good and evil, sometimes we choose the wrong over the right. And that is exactly what compromises our sanctity before God, which is sin. A life of prayer, a life of penance, a life of the sacraments, a life of devotion to Christ is exactly what makes a saint a saint. A saint, as you may have heard, is a sinner who keeps on trying and never gives up. You know, when we think about our own patron saints, we look at statues and holy cards and pictures, and we see the saints and the beautiful murals and the paintings that we have here in church. We see them in their glory, and we think, "My gosh, if I could be like them someday." But we never remember or think about the fact that these saints were once flesh and blood, like we are. They lived in this world. They faced the very same temptations and did the very same things that we do, getting up in the morning, going to bed in the evening. Many of them were married, they tended to their families, priests who tended to their flocks, monks who were faithful to their monastic life, nuns who did likewise. But they faced the very same temptations and had the same weaknesses that we all have. But we called them saints because by God's grace they were able to overcome those human weaknesses and live in sanctity. If you would have told any one of those saints in their lifetime that when they'd be canonized, they'd say, "No, that's impossible." And that's exactly why they're saints, because they realize how much in need of God's grace they actually were, as are we. In the preface, that is the prayer that's prayed on saints' feast days before the Eucharistic prayer, it says this, that, "O God, you are praised in the company of your saints, and in crowning their merits, you crown your own gifts. By their way of life, you offer us an example. By communion with them, you give us companionship. By their intercession, sure support. So that, encouraged by such a great cloud of witnesses, we may run as victors in the race before us and win with them the imperishable crown of glory through Christ our Lord." So God himself is praised in the company of his saints. Whenever we think of the saints and we glorify them, we are in effect glorifying God who made them what they are now. They see God face to face in heaven because they cooperated with the very gifts, the vocation, the graces that God gave them. And the same thing with all of us, that God, in crowning their merits, crowns his own gifts. By their way of life, you offer us an example. And then there's our own lives as well. God has given us our vocation, priesthood, diaconate, married life, single life, wherever we find ourselves, whatever our occupations are, the graces are there that God wishes to crown by his own grace. We've seen the lives of the saints an example. And by communion with them, he gives us companionship. They understand our struggle. They have been where we are, and they want us to be where they are. And the saints pray for us continuously. Remember that God is love, and that those who love abide in God, and God abides in them, and God cannot die. Therefore, love does not die, which is why we know that the saints in heaven still love us and pray for us. And not just the canonized saints, but every person in heaven is a saint. We know that. Not all of them are canonized as saints and listed as such, but every person who gets to cross the River Jordan to the other side is certainly a saint. Your friends, your relatives, your parents, men, women, and children, anyone faithful to God, who sees God face to face, a saint in heaven, still loving us, still praying for us, still praying with us. By the intercession, we have sure support. Encouraged by the legacy and their example, they encourage us to run as victors in the race before us, and to win with them that imperishable crown of glory. St. Paul reminds us, he says, "Brothers and sisters, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God, and so indeed we are." Not just a nice name, but a reality. We are his sons and daughters. If we live the fullness of the Beatitudes, if we live the Christian life in its fullness as the saints did, yes, the world's going to hate us. People are going to mock us and ridicule us. That's what they've done from the very beginning. They martyred the first saint, St. Stephen, and have done that so many times before. But Jesus is teaching us, saying, be poor in spirit. Be humble. See God as the source of all that you are. Yours is the kingdom of heaven if you depend on him and him alone and not on your own humanity. Blessed are those who mourn, Jesus says, who mourn the fact that they are apart from God, as we long to look and be with God face to face forever, to be those people who long to see God face to face. To be meek doesn't mean to be a doormat, but to respect your own integrity as a son or daughter of God, and to respect the integrity of others as well. Not to boast about it, but to be glad that God has blessed us with his gifts and to encourage others to be and do our very best. If we hunger and thirst for righteousness and are people of Mass and sacraments and prayer, of good deeds, of a full Christian life, if we show others mercy, as we'd like to be shown mercy ourselves, if we're clean of heart and keep our hearts and minds focused on God and the things of God and seek to be at peace, then blessed are you, Jesus says. You'll be persecuted for the sake of the kingdom of righteousness, but following this plan, yours is the kingdom of heaven. It's a plan of holiness. It's a plan of sanctity. It's the plan of life. We're all called to this, brothers and sisters. As Revelation said, John saw people, a great multitude that no one could count. Every nation, every race, every people, every language, all called to come and stand before the Lamb of God, holding palm branches of victory in our hands, crying out, "Salvation comes from our God who is seated on the throne and from the Lamb." May we follow the great example of the saints, be inspired by their lives, be encouraged by their prayers, and seek to live lives of holiness, that we, who have a hope that's based on Christ's promises, can be pure as the saints are pure and come to enjoy God's eternal vision. May it be said of us, "Lord, this is the people that longs to see your face."